It is good to be back here and worship with you all. First, I'd like to send greetings from our family. Yeah, Emily is coming for the Chinese service. We spent last weekend with Job in Atlanta. He is serving in the English church. He's doing well. David and his wife Julia, they are in Madagascar. You know Madagascar. You have seen the cartoon, Madagascar, the movie. Yeah, he is doing well. Pray for his job, because he needs to settle down so that the family can settle down also. I mean, he and his wife. So his wife is back in Romania now, waiting for more like good news, whether they can settle down in Madagascar or in South Africa. And then Ruth is finishing her ministry in Chiang Mai, Thailand, with Well. And then she is going to Singapore next week. And then, you know, breathing, end of the term. And then we'll be back end of next month for some months. And then to return to Thailand, Chiang Mai, to take out another new role, and new position. So praise the Lord. And then in 2 weeks, I'll be in Asia again, in China, Taiwan, Indonesia, Malaysia. So pray for me. This morning, I would like to, you know, draw attention to one verse from the Bible. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 is one of the very familiar verses in the Bible. Proverbs 29:18. So I'm more old-fashioned kind of speaker. I don't really show much like PowerPoint, video, things like that, because I would like to encourage all of you to bring your Bible. Okay. If you don't bring your Bible, you bring your cell phone, you promise me, just look at the verse, then you can turn on. Otherwise, don't turn on your cell phone. Okay. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Let me read from NIV. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Where there is no revelation. Okay. Other version, American Standard Version, say where there is no vision. Okay, CEB say when there is no vision. AMPC say where there is no vision. AMP say where there is no vision. Okay, so the majority saying that this verse is where there is no vision. But why NIV translate into revelation? I think from the original word, the Hebrew, vision, revelation means something similar, but at the same time, if we are not careful, can be something different. Vision is more like what we see. You know, as Christians in this world, we look around and we see a lot of things. Sometimes we get lost because there are so many things going on. I'm not sure which we can trust, or not sure what is happening around us. So we are not really sure, and we can just get lost in this world with a lot of things going on around us. So when we say that where there is no vision, AMPC say the people perish. People die, people got lost. But most of the translations say people cast off restraint. You know, they have nothing to guide them, nothing to help them to realize something is wrong. Okay, don't go that direction. You need to stay on this course. There is no restraint. And the people are unrestrained. This is AMPC. So, vision is very important. What are we going to see? And that is usually The vision will guide our thinking, guide our goal of our life. And this is very important. When I was the last year in high school, I saw something. I saw people in the bush. They have little chance to know about Jesus. They have little chance to hear about Jesus. And then I spent a week with them, and they changed my life because I saw that God wants me to see. And the revelation from God, that means God tell us, you need to spend your life to help those people to know about Jesus. And the vision itself, it happens in 1970-something and guide my life until today. So this is vision, is from God. It's not vision that we see as human being, like we have seen a lot of people, they are, you know, very successful, so we thought maybe this is something we see, then I can follow that direction. And maybe we see some people, they are very poor, and then we say, well, I don't want to be poor people, so I just, you know, try not to go that direction and try other way. And you know, in this world, we try different things. We try different things. So vision, that's what we see. And I want to bring you a new perspective, because what we see on the television, wow, I would like to play football. That's good. It's nothing bad. I would like to play basketball. I mean, the season starts tonight. And then I would like to play, you know, different kind of, sports, which is good. By the way, just let you know that our mission last year, 2016, through sport evangelism, we plant 21 churches. We plant 21 churches. So if you are good in sport, praise the Lord. You know, you need to tune your thinking, your vision to what, you know, God wants to tell me. You need to tune it towards the revelation, you know. Just want to see what God wants us to see. This is very important. Because otherwise, a lot of people, when they graduate from high school and they go to a college, high percentage of them drift off. Why? Because they've seen a lot of things and not sure what to decide and what to follow. And maybe they think, well, Christianity, Jesus is just one of, you know, individual like choices. Okay, I don't say I'm not Christian, but they drift off with the world. And they end up, you know, they may be heading somewhere, you know, it's not very productive in the perspective of God. So, vision, we need the vision with revelation from God. That means we need to pray to God and ask God to show us, you know, what He wants us to do and where He wants us to go in the future. It's very interesting because when I was in Taipei, why I mention this quite often, because one of the very mission-minded churches in Taipei, they maybe have more than 10,000 members in their church, a lot of church and people, big church, and they have a Bible school in their a mission school in their church, and they have over 20 people, full-time students from their church member to study there. So they invite me to come and talk about reaching out to the Muslim. And then when I was there, they asked me to talk about Muslim ministry for 3 afternoons. And the very first question they asked, why Muslim? Okay, why do we need to talk about Muslim? We don't have Muslim in Taiwan, they told me. So, after the first afternoon, I said, do you mind to come with me? So all the students, they came with me with the pastor. So we just crossed the main road to the other side. There is a mosque. And they never seen it. They never realized there is a mosque there. You see, some people, they are so occupied with their thinking, with what they see, and they don't see a lot of things surrounding them. The vision, we need to help them to see. You know, last June, I was in Chicago. you know, after, you know, a few hours of training, and then at least one of them wrote me back and said, "Pastor, I never realized that we have so many Muslims here." She said, "When I wake up this morning, I look out my window, I saw Muslims walking around." She said, "They have been there for years, I never seen them until today." What happened? Somehow, our vision, what we want to see, we have decided. And then those is not within our desire. We usually miss them. We usually don't see what is happening around us. So a lot of churches ask me, "Pastor, when you are Chinese, you go to Africa?" I mean, I met a lot of American, Canadian, you know, Australian, British. They are missionary everywhere. But Chinese, we tend to go to Chinese, no matter where we are. You know, in America, we go to Chinese church. In Africa, we look for Chinese food. You know, we just think about Chinese. Think about Chinese. So when we went to Africa and they say, "Okay, how many Chinese there?" I said, "None." "You mean your church, no Chinese in the church?" I said, "No, we don't have Chinese there. All are African, black African." They say, "Wow, this is a new perspective." Why? Because they never think about, we should see the need of those people. So this is something that we need to train ourselves and ask God to direct our mind. Because otherwise, we are easily just get lost and start following whatever, you know, surrounding us. And then we thought so-and-so is so, you know, successful, so I follow his way. Or, you know, in America, you know, these events or activities is so attractive, so I follow that. And then end up, we're not sure where it ends. So, brothers and sisters, this is very important. Where there is no revelation, that means we don't see the hand of God. We don't see how God lead us. We don't see the instruction from our Lord. Then we tend to get lost. Tend to get lost. So this is very important. So not only seeing, but seeing with the eye of God, seeing with the instruction that God instructs us and want us to see what we want to see, what we need to see. Otherwise, you know, like AMPC say, people just perish, you know, this is a very, very heavy word. So may all of us really come before the Lord and ask God to open our eyes to see what He wants us to see. Not just seeing what is better for me in this world so I can follow certain kind of pattern of life, you know. Money is very attractive. Money is very attractive. And a lot of people, I'm so sad to see, the only thing they left in this world they know about is earning money, making money. It's very sad. We become the slave of money. It's very sad. This is not what God intended our life to be. So may God help us. So as I put on the bulletin, the message I want to share, will turn to the westward vision. You know, I would like to share a little bit because they start with a vision. They start with a vision. You know, back to Jerusalem movement start with a vision. And the people try to reach out to non-Chinese in China, the Chinese Christian. They start with a vision. And they want to go from the east coast or inland and towards the west, you know, towards Xinjiang, towards Pakistan and Afghanistan, and then Iran, Iraq, or all kinds of stands in the Central Asia. They start with vision. They start with vision. So when I travel around and train people, and then talk about reaching out to the Muslim, they told me, saying, "Pastor Wong, I don't see any Muslim. I don't know any Muslim." So I say, "Okay, come on, just join us. Join me. I'm going to lead Silk Road Vision and Prayer Trip 5 in 5 years. one trip per year. So this past July was the first trip, and next April will be the second trip, and then one trip per year. May not be the same time, but the main route will be just traveling around and looking at those Muslim people in different places. So Silk Road is more, within China, and then mainly within the province of Xinjiang and Gansu and Ningxia, those areas. Because Hui, they are in Gansu, Ningxia more, and then Uyghur and the other minority, they are in Xinjiang. So the first trip, we travel through Hui area, end up in the Uyghurs area. And then this trip, we are mainly focusing in the Uyghur area and plus other minority in Xinjiang province. Okay, so why I encourage them to join me? Because they say we never met any of them. We want to see them, we want to talk to them, we want to get to know them. I say, okay, come, let us just walk around those areas. So the first trip, we spent 14 days. We have 27 people, 8 from China, 13 from US, and the other from Malaysia, Hong Kong, Taiwan, they join us. It was very encouraging to see what God is doing there. Very encouraging. And then people were so excited to talk to Muslims like Iman, or talk to Muslim so-called students there. They are Quranic students, and then just first-hand information experience. It was very exciting. So the purpose was to experience, to see what God wants us to see, and learn how to pray for them. And then when we walk from city to cities, region to regions, a few places just really challenge us in different ways. First place was in between Hami and Tulufan. Hami and Tulufan. Hami is the eastern city of Xinjiang province. Okay, so when you go by road into Xinjiang, the first bigger city is Hami. Hami, from Hami to Urumqi. Urumqi is one of the lowest city in this world. It's below sea level. It's very hot. Higher is colder. Lower is very hot. Very hot. So, for Chinese, maybe some of you, the young people, you may not know, but some of you may know COG. Okay, we have a few here that COG. That means Buddhism, the band, they travel all the way to India to learn the secret of Buddhism. So, when they arrive, so-called a fire mountain, Huoyansan, is fire mountain. That day, we 27 of us, we travel just towards that mountain. We say that fire mountain, you know what is fire mountain. That means very hot. This is June 20, I forgot 20, which day? The temperature reached up to 81 Celsius. You imagine 81 Celsius. 81 Celsius, probably 200 Fahrenheit. It's just if you half boil or your egg, usually don't need the high of temperature. Today we will reach 89. 89 is like 31, 32. So you just double it, and then almost double half of it again. It's very hot. Well, when we arrived there, that day it was 60 something. 60 something is how much? It's 150 to 160 degree Fahrenheit. It's very hot. And then we visit the village. you know, nearby the you know, the mountain. They have good grapes. You don't realize, you don't understand, we don't understand easily, like, how can grapes, you know, just survive in that kind of weather? Okay, I don't talk too much here now, but just saying that when we walk around, it was hot, oven hot, very hot. And then when we walk around the village, one thing just struck us so hard, because we saw a missionary from Germany. His house was there. The door still, you know, have his name and say missionary so-and-so's house. And we thought, wow, my God. You know, missionary choose a place like this to come and serve. When we were in Africa, we cry out because it was so hot. It was so hot. For us, 140 is manageable. But 160, that is incredible. Just, you cannot believe it. So we thought, wow, we have missionary, you know, decide to come to this place. What motivate him to come? Must be he saw the vision and then God instruct him to come. Otherwise, no one can make the effort to come. That's just unbelievable. And then after that, our bus, you know, took the road out of the main road, so it was a muddy road, bumpy road. And China, economically, now is very good. And they are building roads everywhere. And they among our team members, some say, oh, Chinese government need to do something because this road is just too bad, too bad. Because we want to see an old brother, in the 60s, when he was in the 20s, he moved from Shandong, that means the eastern coast of China, and then work, and then, you know, sometimes took transportation. Most of the time he worked and his wife, and then he ended up where? He ended up nearby this fire mountain, behind the mountain. That's where we went and see him. He was 95 years old. He was put in prison by the government, the communist government, for 20 over years. His back was broken because they hit him and hurt him so much. And then we went to see him. You know, I never know him in person. I never read about him. I was so ashamed because, you know, I'm Chinese and I don't know, you know, the other Chinese. They serve the Lord, they suffer so much, and yet I don't know him. And then we visit him. So 20 over of us, you know, squeezed into his hospital room, and then we just saw him, and then he was so weak because for 3 days, no food, no water. He's dying. And then when he saw us, he was so weak. And then one of us told him, said that, Uncle Lee, we are Christians. We want to, you know, come to see you, and then we want to tell you that we have the burden for the Muslim on the west side. Immediately, he awake, and he want to sit up, and then he tears just came down and say, finally, finally, he says, someone want to continue my vision, continue to carry on my vision, to bring the gospel westward, all the way to an important way, maybe to Mediterranean Sea, maybe to whatever. His heart for over, you know, many, many years, when he got the vision and then he had the desire to reach out to the Muslim. He felt like he was failed, and then it's not successful because he never reached you know, the Muslim area. So when he heard us, he wants to reach out, you know, one heard us say that we are having the same vision. He was so encouraged. And 5 days after, he passed away. He passed away. He probably was one of the 130 Westwood Gospel team or band, one of the last one. So when I was in Urumqi, after our team just, finished our trip and everybody went home, and then I stayed back and conduct 4 days of training. The first group of them, they were the children or grandchildren of this Uncle Lee, the old person, people, and then the other team member. And they are serving the Lord in Xinjiang so nicely, and many, many churches planted among the Muslim people. And then I'm going there again next year to help them, to train them, and just came up with ways to reach up to the Muslim. So those, you see, with vision, a lot of things going on. So brother and sister, if we ask God to help us to see what He wants us to see, then with the vision from God, our life will be totally different. Will be totally different. Because we will see what God wants us to see. We are not going to see only what we, like you and me see in this world. We need to keep moving. And then when we were in Urumqi, we went to see a few, in a cemetery, we went to see a few graves. We have a whole bunch of people. They were from the East Coast, like Beijing, Shanghai area, and then they moved all the way to Xinjiang, want to share the good news with the Muslim. And they died in Urumqi, many of them. So we went to see the tomb and just read what they put on the tomb. It was very touching, very touching. Just really open our eyes to see what God wants us to see. It's very encouraging, very encouraging. And then at least 3 out of 26 saying that they are touched and they are willing to commit their life to come back to their area and serve the Lord. And yesterday I received one letter from the team member saying that recently she spent many, many, many days in the area to reach out to the Muslim. It was very touching. So brothers and sisters, people are dying. So who are dying? We are talking about billions of people. Okay, we have billion Muslim. 1.5, sometimes some people say 1.8 billion Muslim people, they are dying without Jesus Christ. My desire is, God, just help us to preach to them, to reach up to them, and let them have at least one chance, at least one chance to hear the good news of Jesus Christ in a more complete way. It's not just saying that Jesus loves you. We pray that will happen. That will happen. And then yesterday, the day before, SIM said, please pray for Hindu. We are talking about another billion of Hindu. A lot of Hindu in India. So, what God wants us to do? As Christians, we are not only called to be saved, we are called to obey Him. And to obey Him to bring the good news to all the corners of the world. So why are we here? If we are not going, at least we need to pray. If we are not praying, at least we need to do something. So that people in different parts of the world, they will know who is Jesus. The only thing we can prove to Muslims, to Hindus, to many people, atheists, that Jesus is true is by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, and they doubt if we believe that it's true. So you see, this is very, very important. Very important. So let us raise our vision, what we see, into another level. We don't see what we want to see. We ask God to help us to see what He wants us to see. So You know, I recently I read a book by Timothy Keller. You know, he have a huge church in New York. He reached out to mainly the students, and then in his book he mentioned one thing. He said that there is one musician. I mean, he wasn't mentioning something about his church. He said about some play, a drama thing. A musician, you know, he tried to please God, and he told God saying that, I want to be the best musician. I want to earn a lot of money. I want to help the poor people. I want to do charity. I want to do all sorts of good things for you. And then, in that drama, there is another person came out. He is another musician called Mozart. You know Mozart? And Mozart is like, it's very, very, not very disciplined in a way, but definitely his gift is much better than this one called Saleri, and in the play. And then when Saleri saw Mozart, become more famous and famous than him, and then he was so upset with God. He said, God, I'm much better than Mozart, morally, devotional, whatever way. And why you don't help me to stay in the top position, like top, you know, musician, and then now Mozart is overtaking me. And he was so angry with Mozart also, but mainly he was angry with God. He was angry with God. And the play ends with a declaration. Saler, you know, S-A-L-I-E-R-I, well, how to pronounce it, okay, his name. He declares saying that, from now on, God, we are enemy. It's very, you know, very heavy for me to read those kind of things. Because we have vision for ourselves, and then we thought this is the best way. In the best thing I want to commit my life to, which is nothing wrong. I mean, music is good. But when he saw the vision without revelation, without thinking about how to glorify God, how to do it for God, and then he wants to do it for himself, and he thought that, God, you owe me something. Okay? You owe me something. I'm good. I'm morally good also. And you are supposed to treat me well. But you don't. So sorry, God, we are enemy now. You see, so you don't treat vision lightly, because if we think that what we have seen is the way that I want to live my life for, you know, from now on. Brother and sister, we need to come before the Lord and ask God, is this something that we see now is really from you? And how you want me to live out my vision to glorify your name? We need to readjust all the time. Otherwise, Christian, we may get into trouble. Even we love God, even we have desire to serve God. So vision, you know, we need to just bring the vision before the Lord and ask him, Lord, is this from you? Is it from you? So when there is no vision, there is problem. When there is vision without revelation, there's another problem. So vision with revelation, that means the vision is from God, then God will guide our life from now on until the day we see him. So brothers and sisters, this is very important. Very important. So next year we are going to have Silk Road again. We only take Chinese, sorry, because it's very sensitive area. You are not Chinese, sorry, we cannot include you in our team for this kind of ministry, because Xinjiang now is very restricted, and we have a lot of checking point. And then if all with black hair, they don't ask question. But if you are not black hair, you can die, but maybe your face, people still know that you are not Chinese. Then they tend to ask questions that we may have difficulty to answer. And then whoever on the way we are going to see, if they are seeing Chinese, no question. If they are seeing foreigner, then there are a lot of questions. So sorry, you can pray for us. But with those you have black hair, if you can know some Chinese Mandarin, that would be better, because we are going to communicate in Mandarin. But if you decide to come and you say, okay, I don't speak Chinese, you still have time. From now to next April, you still can take some lessons. You can still join us. But anyway, may God help us to see what He wants us to see, so that from there on, we are working in the will of God, and then God will bless us. And then just, continue to guide us with His wisdom, His instruction. Should we pray? Thank you, Lord. We want to thank you because through Solomon, through prophets, you encourage us to just refocus our eyes, our vision, so that we can see what you want us to see and guide our lives, so that our life will be following you all the way until the day we see you. So we want to thank you because you want to use us to bless many other people. Our life to be meaningful, not only to us and to other people also. So just help us to reconsider what we want to do in our life, what we want to see in our life, and just help us, just lead us so that we will be following you, working with our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.